We had some problems with some squirrels out in our bird feeder. We were feeding them Wild Delight bird feed, premium Wild Delight bird feed. And what I had mistakenly done was gave them the wrong variety in the bird feeder, and we had some squirrel problems.
Right, they were eating the bird. They were climbing the pole.
Right,
and then even they were in the big garden. They attacked the one bird feeder.
Right, but Wild Delight has a bird feed. A bird food that is infused with chili oils, and that gets in the squirrel's
sinuses, nasal passages, right. Whatever. And it, you know, they don't find that pleasant.
And we did that. We filled the bird feeder with the right bird feed because some places we don't have problems with squirrels, and other places we do. And because that chili oil in the bird food, the squirrels didn't come back. So we've solved that problem. So if you do have problems with squirrels tearing into your bird feeders or eating your bird feed, check out Wild Delight and the deterring squirrel mix that's got the infused chili oil in it. And the birds, it doesn't bother the birds, but it does bother the squirrels. Well, Holly, let's get into mulching. Mulching is an important aspect of gardening. And now there's good mulch, bad mulch, good reasons for mulching, and not so good reasons for mulching.
Right. So mulching is helpful because what it does is it can improve the conditions of the soil, but it also is helpful because what it does is it suppresses weeds and it holds in moisture. And I think that's probably the two most important reasons for mulching. A lot of times it also prevents, or it should prevent, diseases from splashing up on the leaves of the plants.
Now, some disadvantages, the mulch can block the sunlight, preventing the seeds from germinating. If you've planted, let's say, leaf lettuce and you've mulched over top of them, it's preventing them from growing. So if you're going to mulch, you kind of want to wait until, like if you're doing a large broadcast of seeds, until them come up. You know, with tomatoes, peppers, eggplants, potatoes, it's easy because you've got a central plant and you're mulching around it. But, you know, leaf lettuce or spinaches or radishes, that type of thing, you kind of have to wait so you don't smother them out. The other disadvantage to mulching, that it can invite and create an environment for insects such as slugs and earworms, cutworms, and other pests that like that cool, dark, damp environment. So that can be a disadvantage, but with the goods and the bads, you kind of balance it out because in my opinion, the good outweighs the bad in this situation, utilizing mulch for your garden.
Right. I definitely would have to agree. So one of our favorite mulches is leaves. And the leaves that come down in the fall, the dry, dead leaves, whatever you want to call them. So every fall, we gather leaves from our neighbors, from in front of, you know, from our own leaves, and then from the neighbors, and we gather those and then even save them for next year, or we put them on the garden.
Yeah, we'll get them out of the street in the urban environments. A lot of the neighbors throw them in the streets, and then if you catch it in time, the city has compiled all of them to a giant mound at the end of the street, and before they get it picked up, I can just go over there with the big giant Rubbermaid trash cans and get a dozen or two dozen and just top off the raised beds, and then also make a pile, a stockpile in the back of the garden. Now, at this point of the year, we're getting early portions of June. A lot of those leaves in which we have utilized as mulch early on is starting to dissipate because they're breaking down and feeding the soil, which is an advantage to the organic mulches.
Right. And actually, so another aside from the leaves, you can use straw. And actually, I have a friend who's in the greater Chicago area.
I thought you were going to say the straw business.
The straw business. He's in the greater Chicago area, and he was like, it's really hard for me to gather the leaves because they scoop them up so fast, mm-hmm. because of, you know, rodents, city rodents, what have you, raccoons or rats or whatever.
Issues.
And so he's like, what can I use? And I was like, you can use straw. So what he did is he was having some compost from his local garden center delivered, and he asked for them to toss on a few bales of straw and had those delivered too.
Now, we want straw instead of hay. Straw is the stalk or the byproduct of the grain plant. Now, some people are not familiar with that, and that's why we're explaining what that is. Hay is the grasses that can contain lots of seeds that is baled up or made or grown for animal consumption. Straw is typically the bedding material for the animals. So you want the straw instead of the hay. Also, with grass clippings, it makes a great mulch if you get the right kind of grass clippings.
Right. So for grass clippings, you want to make sure that they don't have any weed seeds. So if you have like a back 40 area that the grass is growing, has the weed, little, looks almost like
little white things on the top.
Yeah, like little white tassels.
And the grass doesn't have to be waist high in order to develop seeds. You can have grass that's 4 or 5 inches tall that will shoot up a seed stalk. So you want to be aware of this.
Right. So you want to make sure that they're weed seed free. And then also that they don't have any chemicals on them, whether you spray the chemicals or you pay somebody else to come to your home and spray the chemicals, because those chemicals are usually like a weed and feed with a highly aggressive
broadleaf
herbicide. And then when you put that herbicide, whether it be in your compost or just sprinkle it over your garden, that broadleaf is going to cling to the water molecules, and then it's going to get into your soil, and then it's going to essentially kill your plants.
Other good organic means of mulch: shredded paper. You can do that in your home. Not really that eye appealing, but it does work, and it doesn't blow away necessarily if you want to incorporate that with another mulch. We've never had a problem with the shredded paper blowing away. Pine needles work great. They're not acidic. They don't make your soil acidic. That is a garden myth. And it will actually, you know, take a little longer to break down, so it won't be like the leaves where it dissipates halfway through the growing season. One thing that is kind of good and kind of bad is wood bark or shredded bark or shredded wood, wood chips, good for perennial beds, not necessarily for the vegetable garden themselves. Though if you're going to go in a no-till method and allow the proper amount of time to do what the things need to do, and then just simply move the wood chips back, plant, and then bring the wood chips back around, like a back-to-Eden garden method, that is a very good method of utilizing wood chips. We utilize wood chips around our perennials, our asparagus, and our raspberry beds. So those, you know, it can be good and it can be bad. If you make the reason why we don't want to use wood chips in the vegetable garden is you're typically tilling or loosening or planting or, you know, digging up potatoes or something of that nature, and you can incorporate those wood chips into the soil themselves. And as those break down, they rob the soil of nitrogen, which is a key element for plant development. That is what makes the plant green, and it can hamper the plant's growth cycle. So if you want to, you know, you can kind of be cautious about the wood chips. Now, some inorganic types of mulches would be like the weed barriers. There are weed barriers now that are break down, you know, biodegradable.
But are they biodegradable? Is it like the peat pellets?
Well, yeah, they're labeled as biodegradable. And it can actually, if you get a weed fabric or a weed barrier that's too tightly woven, it won't allow the water to penetrate through, because a lot of these things say keeps the weeds away but allows the water and the sunlight and all this other stuff to get through. And they're made
up. A lot of gardeners hate weed barrier for that reason: when the water doesn't go through. Two,
it pools up.
Three, even if it does say the water will go through, sometimes if a lot of people will put weed barrier down and then they put mulch on top,
which is
not,
which you don't want to do,
right, or stones or whatever, and that dust from that wood mulch or the stones gets caught in the fibers of that weed barrier,
blocks the holes,
so the water still doesn't get through. So you want to be mindful of that wherever you put that.
There is a time and a place and an application for weed barrier. I don't think in the vegetable garden it is. Potentially in a side bed of some nature, of some sort like that, if you get a loose enough woven weed barrier fabric to allow that dust to settle through and the water to penetrate, but greatly reduces the amount of weeds in which you're dealing with, then there could be a potential use for that. It's not biodegradable. I mean, some of the plastics are now more biodegradable that the big urban, the big farmers, the organic farmers use as they're planting 5,000 tomatoes in a field. They block that down and they puncture holes in it and all that. But still, something to be aware of when it comes to mulches. There are synthetic, man-made, and there are organic. And if we're looking at doing things on a budget, the organic is the much more cheaper and better way to go because you've got grass clippings. You typically have leaves in the fall if you want to stockpile them. Pine needles in some applications, shredded paper we all have, and as well as you know, you can get straw if you know a farmer. If you are a farmer, straw is a good application, as well as for doing straw bale gardening. And then the bark and the wood chips, you can probably get, you know, you can get chip drop, get a hold of them and have them deliver for using the wood chips around your perennials as well as around the raised beds or your walk paths and not incorporate those into the vegetable garden bed.
Right. Well, the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show is brought to you today by our sponsors, Walton's Inc. Listen, we know you care about where your food comes from, canning and preserving your fruits and vegetables. Freezing them is great, but what about the meat? At WaltonsInc.com.
What about the meat?
At WaltonsInc.com, you can get all the equipment, seasoning, supplies to make sausage, jerky, and any other meat product your way to your high standards. I saw a huge buck run across the road today when I was out. It was like a prize buck, and all I could think about was hopefully somebody gets that guy in the fall. So you want, if you want to make snack sticks that people will actually like, Walton's created MeatJustSticks.com, an informational site to help you make the best finished product.
Well, they don't have to just get the buck. They can, if they have their cattle, their chickens, or whatever the case is, they can use Walton's for that too.
Yeah, okay. Of course. Yeah. I'm just saying, I thought about how tasty that buck probably is. So Walton's even has a full line of their own meat grinders, mixers, sausage stuffers, etc. to help you go from animal to edible. Walton's is everything but the meat. Again, that's Walton's Inc. .com or meatjuststicks.com. For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.